that sip. Can't believe you're drinking tap water.
It's tap water, guys. I don't care.
I'm not above tap water, but I'm also fearful of tap water because I've had tap water that tastes like shrimp random stuff. It's kind of gross, so.
Well, I mean, you got to remember, though. What did I tell you about my grandma's house? The water came straight down the hill.
Spring water.
Straight from a spring. And then I drank well water at my house in the mountains.
I can hear Lewis getting Zorro dinner.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, we are on our second to last episode, y'all.
We've made it.
It is 6:04 p.m. on a Saturday. Saturday, March 9th. Yesterday, my little niece turned 11.
You say little. 11 is big.
I remember when she was born. My nephew is going to be 15 in May.
My oldest nephew was born in 1999.
You're older than me.
I am older than you, but I'm only 34. Well, by the time this comes out, I'll be 35.
Your nephew?
I have two older half-sisters. They're 10. One of them's 10 years older than me.
I forget. I was like, wait, Leon's daughter is not that old. I've seen her. No, one of my little nieces turned 11 yesterday. I have one that turned 12 in January. I have another one that turns 12 later this month. Nope, I lied. Not this month. I'm stupid. One turns 12 next month. One turns 10 next month. And then I have one that turns 10 in May and one that turns 6 in May. And then my nephew will turn 15 in May.
Wow.
Listen, my oldest brother is going to be 48 years old this year.
Wow.
Yeah. And my little brother just turned 28. So we all getting old. But anyway, hi everybody. I'm Sarah.
Hi, Alicia.
And this is Sinister States. That was nice.
Yeah, that was very... Might need to cut that one and keep using it. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, just
snip it.
Yeah, honestly, I would probably forget to keep putting it in.
That would be me.
People would be like, who is talking? Well,
this... What a, huh?
Right. This week, we are in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I don't have a lot to say about Virginia. They had some cases. I picked one. That's about as good as it got.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which I guess is good. There wasn't too much, but anyway.
You're like, there wasn't too much.
I've been to Virginia. There's not much in Virginia. I don't understand the saying.
Listen, I've been to Virginia's for lovers.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, for what? Why do I have to love you?
I don't know. But I will say, I've been to, like, a home zoo in Virginia.
Excuse me? What?
It
where?
It was, like, these people, like, had a patch of land, and they had a whole zoo there.
Interesting. Is that legal? It must be.
I mean, it was legal. It. Yeah. I mean, like, it was, advertised very well.
You remember Joe Exotic?
Yeah. It was similar to a Joe Exotic type situation, but they actually fed their animals and took care of them. I know they feed them because I got to feed them. I paid and fed them.
Aww.
Yeah. Willa got to feed a giraffe. Ethan has a weird, he loves zebras. Like, I mean, he likes different animals now, but at that point, the zebra was the thing. He got to feed a zebra out of his hand. Like, wow. They give you, like, the feed. You can feed the monkeys and the zebras. Like, they had certain animals where it was marked you could feed them.
Nice.
We had the domestic dispute monkeys while we were there.
What?
They were, like, a domestic dispute. Like, they... I guess they were, like, a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And the one monkey, like, ran up and smacked the other one. And they were, like, really going. Like, they would fight. We weren't sure if they were, like, it was, like, a mating thing or
that's
what.
That's a domestic violence.
That's case. What I said. We had the domestic dispute monkeys.
Yeah, I guess so. That makes sense.
They were, like, little spider monkeys. But they had all kinds of things. It was neat to see.
Nice.
It wasn't, like, you know, you go to some zoos and it looks sad.
Mm-hmm.
But this one wasn't sad. Like, they took good care of these animals. Well, I feel like they probably, I don't know. I feel like maybe they took these animals in from somewhere. Because, you know, like...
Yeah.
When Ringling Brothers closed down all their animal stuff, you know, they sold all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, they had a giraffe. A giraffe. Willow was terrified of the giraffe.
It's huge.
But she wanted to feed it and then got scared of it.
Yeah, that's how kids are. I'm not surprised.
My brother paid like 10 or 15 bucks to feed the giraffe and then Willa freaked out.
He's like, I'll do it.
He's like, and it, Willa's like, Willa's just chunking the food.
Do you hear him knocking his bowl downstairs?
Yeah, I do.
Yep, he whipping it. Well, anyway, thank you for the home zoo in Virginia. I'm going to get started with our missing persons. So this is Allison Kathleen Dalton. She's been missing since July 27th, 1998. She was only born on May 17th, 1998. Or, yeah, 1998. That is my nephew's birthday, just not in 1998.
Aww, all the birthdays. Sarah's like the birthday queen.
She there is a the birthday dates. In every single month of the year except for September in my family. Or a celebration of some kind, but usually a birthday. So she was 2 months old when she went missing out of Strasburg, Virginia. This is classified as a non-family abduction. At the time that she went missing, she was approximately 1'8" and 8 pounds. Because again, she was only 2 months old. Some distinguishing characteristics, not many. She was a Caucasian female, brown hair, blue eyes. I hate that I say was. Like, I'm assuming that she's deceased, but she might not be. So details of the disappearance. So Allison was last seen at approximately 7:45 a.m. on July 27th, 1998 at her mother's second floor apartment in the 100 block of Charles Street in Strasburg, Virginia. She was with her mother, Selena Jo Dalton, at the time. At 2:25 p.m., one of Selena's co-workers found Selena's body on a couch inside the residence. She had been stabbed 5 times in the chest. Allison was missing, and so were several of her baby bottles. She is presumed to have been abducted by the murderers. Murderers. Authorities believe Selena was killed between 9:15 and 10:30 a.m. Her neighbors stated they did not hear screams or any disturbance that morning, although one reported seeing a man putting a baby in a truck. The murder weapon had been taken from the scene. At the time of the murder, Selena was seeking child support from her sometime boyfriend, Daniel E. Pompel, and he was supposed to take DNA tests to determine paternity. Pompel told police he'd been at Selena's apartment at about 9 a.m. shortly before the murder. He said he knocked on the door and no one answered, so he left. In 2000, Selena's mother filed a suit against Pompel, seeking $1.5 million in damages for Selena's wrongful death. The suit was later dismissed for lack of evidence, and Pompel has never faced criminal charges in connection with Selena's death or Allison's disappearance, although authorities did search his home after the murder. He has cooperated with the investigation thus far, and Allison's whereabouts remain unknown, and Selena's homicide remains unsolved. So, if you believe that you could be this little girl, because I would like to believe that she's not gone.
Right.
That just sounds like an abduction.
Right.
And it could have been the potential daddy. It could have been somebody that wanted a baby, which is really creepy to think. I don't know how people steal babies and just think that they're just going to pass
that
them on.
That one lady just hacked that whole baby out that poor girl's stomach that time, so it happened.
And didn't the baby die anyway?
No, the girl lived. The mama died.
Well, I knew the mama died. I
mean, yeah, the girl lived.
Wow. But yeah, so if you guys know anything or that might be you, please call the Center for Missing and Exploited Children. So speaking of death, this...
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, seriously. This Virginia case is going to be the murder of Bethany Decker.
Never heard of it.
Me neither.
Until today.
I know. It's not super long.
Today
is
the day.
As opposed to my Michigan, so yay. So we'll get in and out of this case tenfold. Okay, so... A native of Fredericksburg, Virginia, Bethany Decker attended George Mason University in Fairfax after graduating high school. She majored in global and economic change while working full-time. During her time at GMU, she became pregnant by Emil Decker, an Army National Guardsman. The two married in 2009, and their son was born 6 months later. Emil was often deployed to Afghanistan with his unit for months at a time. During those times, Decker often left the boy with her in-laws in Columbia, Maryland, while she worked and attended classes. While working at an Italian restaurant in Centerville, Virginia, Decker met Roldan, a Bolivian immigrant, then around 30 years old, and began an extramarital affair with him. By late 2010, there were strains in the Deckers' marriage. Bethany moved to a separate apartment in Ashburn, Virginia. Fun fact, that's where Lewis used to live.
Oh, cool.
Which is very rich and expensive. It is the most expensive county in the United States. Which is, I know that the county, I forgot the name, but whatever county Ashburn, Virginia is in, it's the most expensive county in the United States. The relationship with Roldan soon followed, and he moved in with her. According to her family, Decker quickly found that Roldan was abusive, possessive, and controlling. Several times a day, he demanded that she send him pictures of herself from her cell phone to show who she was with. Her parents began developing a plan to get her out of the relationship. By the end of the year, she was pregnant. In January of 2011, Emil came back from his deployment for a month-long leave. Near the end of that period, he and Bethany went on a vacation to Hawaii for a week. They returned on January 28th and spent the night at her grandparents' home in Maryland. Emil's parents were unaware of the couple's marital difficulties. The next morning, Emil saw Decker before she went back to the Ashburn apartment. Roldan said he saw her there later that afternoon. Since then, no one else is known to have seen her. During that day, Decker called her employer to confirm her work schedule for the coming week, the last known contact she has had with anyone other than Emil or Roldan. Oh, that was the last known contact. So on February 2nd, 2011, Emil's leave ended and he returned to Afghanistan. Friends who came to see him off at the airport noted that, unlike previous such occasions, Decker was not there. They attributed her absence to the couple's marital problems. So friends and family say Decker did her best to keep in contact with them, but due to her busy life, balancing her classes in what was to be her final semester at GMU with a full-time job, they had gotten used to not hearing from her for several days at a time, so they were not worried as February 2011 began without any news from her. However, later in the month, several of Decker's friends called her mother, Kim Nelson, saying that they had received messages from her via her Facebook account that did not seem to have come from Decker. By February 19th, not having heard from her daughter herself, Nelson asked her parents, who lived near Ashburn, to drive by and see if she was there. Decker's Hyundai was still out front, but it was parked at an unusual angle with one flat tire and noticeably dusty. This was not the condition it had been in 1 week earlier, when the grandparents had last driven by. No one answered when they knocked on the door. So Decker's grandparents called Loudoun County. That's the county.
Loudoun.
Loudoun. So Decker's grandparents called Loudoun County Sheriff's Office and reported her missing. Investigators found that Decker had not used her bank accounts or cell phone since the last day that she was seen, nor had she reported to work or attended her classes. They initially focused on Emil and Roldan, since both of them might have had a motive to harm Decker due to the love triangle that they were currently involved in. With the help of the Army's Criminal Investigation Command, they were able to reach Emil at his remote post in Afghanistan and talk to him on the phone. Later, they were able to have him return to the U.S., where he spoke with law enforcement at length and took a polygraph test. Roldan had moved out of the apartment shortly after Decker's disappearance, since the lease had expired, and gone to live with his mother in Centerville. He told law enforcement that he had just assumed that she had gone back to live with her family when she failed to return. But investigators became more interested in him when they learned that he had a prior criminal record, including one arrest for identity theft and later convictions for public intoxication and destruction of property after a 2006 incident where he smashed a woman's car window. He also reportedly gave them inconsistent answers to questions about when he had seen the Hyundai parked outside the apartment. In March of 2011, law enforcement searched a field near the apartment complex. They obtained a search warrant for Roldan's current residence, specifying murder as the possible criminal offense on the affidavits. Among the items seized for forensic examination were several cell phones, a laptop computer, and some documents. However, law enforcement were not able to develop any evidence from this material that might have helped them locate Decker. Roldan later stopped cooperating with the investigation. He has subsequently been described by law enforcement as a person of interest. Emil later obtained a divorce from his missing wife. It has since been reported that he will no longer talk with investigators unless his lawyer, who says his client has nothing to hide, is also present. No record was ever found suggesting that Decker had given birth by her expected due date later that summer. Although the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office distributed to the public pictures of what she might look like near the end of a pregnancy. We feel we have probably interviewed folks in this investigation already that probably have information that we would like to have and have been reluctant to hand that information over yet, Sheriff Steve Simpson told a local newspaper later in 2011. So we're hopeful that as the days go by that they'll realize that if they have information, no matter how insignificant they think it is, they will give it to us. A year later, Roldan made his only public statements on the case through his attorney. My client remains hopeful and prays daily that Bethany will come home, said Andy Galou on his behalf. She said he had cooperated with investigators and that he has complete confidence that they're working hard on the case. In late 2012, the Investigation Discovery Channel series Disappeared visited the area to produce a segment on the case. Producers interviewed Decker's friends and family, newspaper reporters who had covered the story, and law enforcement. One of the journalists interviewed speculated that the show was interested in the case because Decker was pregnant at the time of her disappearance and involved in a love triangle, so there's a couple of ways this could go. The episode aired at the end of November of 2012. On the third anniversary of Bethany's disappearance, Nelson challenged Roldan to take a polygraph test. I would like to hear what happened, she told Washington Area News Radio Station WTOP-FM. I'd like him to join the polygraph list like the rest of us did. If you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to worry about. And don't forget, Nelson is her mother. That's her mother's last name. In response, Galou repeated that Roldan had answered all questions he was asked during the original investigation and was innocent of any crime that may have been committed. So then, Ronald Roldan, which, that was fun. His name is Ronald Roldan. Yeah, it's literally like Ronald, just spelled different.
Wow.
Ronald Roldan remained in Northern Virginia for several years after Decker's disappearance. In 2014, he began another relationship with Vicky Willoughby, a woman he met in a Manassas restaurant. She said that Roldan later grew controlling and that she attempted to flee the relationship by moving to Pinehurst, North Carolina, a few months later. But
I know where that is.
Yeah. But Roldan found out and followed her there.
Mm.
Their relationship turned violent. While being physically assaulted by Roldan, Willoughby pulled out a handgun she had hidden in the living room to protect herself. She was able to shoot Roldan twice, although he continued to struggle, and eventually gained control of the gun himself, shooting Willoughby three times, once in the head. Mm. Both survived, although Willoughby lost one of her eyes to the head wound.
I wonder if it was a 22.
I don't know, it doesn't say. But she lost an eyeball. She was not charged since investigators believe she had been acting in self-defense. He was charged with assault with a deadly weapon, assault on a female, and discharging a firearm in an occupied dwelling. After being released from the hospital, he was taken to Moore County Jail and held on a $1 million bail.
Jeez.
Yeah.
They're like, you're not getting away.
Seriously. Detectives from Loudoun County visited Roldan in jail to ask if he was now interested in speaking with them about Bethany's disappearance again. He referred them to his attorney. In April of 2015, he was additionally charged with attempted murder over the incident with Willoughby. His attorney said he intended to plead not guilty to the charges. Shortly afterwards, Willoughby appeared on an episode of Dr. Phil devoted to the Decker case, and she said that Roldan had told her during their fight the previous November he could, quote, make people disappear. In May 2016, after some of the evidence in the case had been suppressed, Roldan accepted a plea bargain from prosecutors. He pled guilty to two felony assault charges and was sentenced to 6 to 8 years in prison. Immigration and Customs Enforcement planned to begin deportation proceedings against him once his sentence was complete. Then, on November 9th, 2020, the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office obtained a warrant for Roldan's arrest for the abduction of Decker. LCSO, which is the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office, returned him to Loudoun County from North Carolina upon the completion of his sentence. As of November 10th, 2020, Roldan remains held at the Loudoun County Adult Detention Center on no bond. On November 17th, 2022, Roldan pleaded guilty to second-degree murder in relation to Decker's disappearance. Her body remains undiscovered. On February 21st, 2023, Roldan was sentenced to 40 years in prison, the maximum permitted for second-degree murder, with all but 12 and a half years of his sentence suspended. He could serve the full sentence if he commits another crime or violates other conditions, including to have no contact with members of Decker's family during a 25-year suspension period. As part of the plea deal with prosecutors, Roldan agreed to go on the record with his account of the murder. He claims he checked for signs of life, but she was dead. He says he got scared, panicked, and never called 911. He says he put her body into a Christmas tree disposal bag and dumped her in the trash compactor at their complex.
Oh my gosh! Just dumped her.
And she was pregnant. Mm-mm. So that is...
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Told you it was short. But that is the murder of Bethany Decker by Ronald Roldan. Ronald Roldan. What a
what
name.
What does Ronald look like? Does it show a picture there?
Not here. Hang on. No, you're fine. Let me find the photo.
Just curious what old Ronald looks like. Was he worth fighting for?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Nah, he looked like what you would expect. A asshole. Sorry, excuse my language. He just doesn't look like somebody that I would. He doesn't even look like somebody I would give the time of day. He just looks mean. Like, if he approached me on the street, I'd be like, no habla inglés.
No habla
But he
English.
speaks Spanish, so that wouldn't work in my favor either. He just looks mean. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's, like, Bolivian or anything. He just has, like, that thug, tough guy, like, sup, dude, like, you know, type of vibe. So I wouldn't talk to him, but he's nothing to look at, I'll tell you that. But yeah, so that's the murder of Bethany Decker.
Well,
Poor girl. The trash
thank you.
compactor.
Ugh. Hope she was like fully dead before he dumped her in there for real, real. Because,
Yeah.
oh my God, could you imagine?
I couldn't even imagine doing it because could you imagine the sound of like the bones crunching and everything?
Well, you're not going to hear it over the sound of the compactor.
If you
They're
listen
super
closely.
loud.
I know, but I feel like if you listen, that's a lot of bone. And there's big bones in there. Like your femur, I feel like you would hear that snap. That's insane. And the baby. I don't know how he didn't get longer. She was pregnant.
Right.
You killed two people.
Some states don't consider it a person.
I'm not having that debate,
Well,
and I
no, I
know you're
mean,
not either, but
but I'm
like,
just saying, like, some states don't consider it a person.
that's insane. Well, anyway,
That's
here we go.
it. There we go.
I'm
Thank
sorry
you
that
so
was
much.
short, but I'm happy it was short because my vocal cords are still fried from the Michigan episode. So hopefully y'all found that interesting. I'd never
Thank
heard of
you.
it, so.
All right, well, remember you can listen to us on Patreon if you want some extra.
You gotta pay for it though.
Extra. Yeah, you gotta pay for it. Sorry, guys, but it's not much. It's $5, I
Yeah.
think.
And Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
And if you have any stories that, like, if you've met a murderer,
Yeah.
you can send us those stories. Or if you've had anything like freaky happen to you, like, send us the stories.
Or if you know somebody that was murdered that we can find information on and you want us to cover it, we'll cover it. That's
So,
totally an option. So,
sinisterstatespodcast at gmail.com.
yeah, we don't get a whole lot of emails, so.
No, we don't. And but then I realized, like, we haven't really been given the email address here lately
I know, we
either.
suck.
No, we
Sorry.
don't suck. We're making it. We're
It's a
new.
lot to remember.
It really is, and like I try my best.
Me too. Well, anyway, thank you guys so much. Parting words for the fans.
Hugs. Lock your doors. Don't play with Ouija boards.
And as always, there's probably something sinister right in your own backyard.
Bum bum bum.